The reading this morning is from 1 Chronicles, chapter 14, 8-17. David defeats the Philistines. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went out to meet them. Now the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of God, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?" The Lord answered him, "Go, I will deliver them into your hands." So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As the waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand." So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines had abandoned their gods there, and David gave orders to burn them in the fire. Once more the Philistines raided the valley. So David inquired of God again, and God answered him, "Do not go directly after them, but circle round them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move out to battle, because that will mean God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." So David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Geza. So David's fame spread throughout every land, and the Lord made all the nations fear him. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray for Ray as he speaks to us about that passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ray. We are so grateful to have you, Ray, as part of our midweek gathering. We ask you, Father, just to be with Ray as he speaks to us. Give him your word. We pray that we can take something of your word away with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lisette. When Janet asked me a few weeks ago that I would speak at one of these Wednesday gatherings during August, she said that the subject was going to be prayer. And she said, "What would I like to preach on?" And I came back to her after a few days and said, "Well, I think I'd like to preach on prayer as conversation." I saw actually that the last weekend it was worship and praise. Well, you've got something slightly different today. Conversation. And by the way, I've got here a weapon which I hope I'm going to use. This is called a wandering mic. So part of it is a conversation between me and the congregation. So you may be taking part. We'll wait and see. When I was in the boys' crusader class many, many years ago, we used to sing a chorus, which I think it was number one in the chorus book, if I remember rightly. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. And we used to like singing that, and I think partly, well, I know one or two people have sung it before as well. I won't try singing it myself right now, but And I think some of us boys used to like singing it because we'd sing, "God is still on the phone and he will remember his own." And, you know, in fact, that's not a bad way of looking at it. God is at the end of the phone, as it were. He's always up for a chat, a conversation. And partly, I think, it is what, you know, Paul said, pray without ceasing. And that used to frighten me a bit, because I thought, well, goodness gracious me, how do we pray without ceasing? The knees will get a bit tired and sore after a while. But actually, it's expressed very well, I think, in this hymn, which I deliberately chose for this service, and Katie and I sorted out a tune which is very easy to pick up. It's a lovely tune, actually. And in that hymn, it says this. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. The motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. I think it's a very beautiful way of putting it, actually. And in a sense, it's the desire, isn't it, that will spring up in eternal. And we've got one person here whose desire today is to see the Lionesses beat Australia. And no doubt if a goal is scored, that there will be some sort of noises off that will begin to emerge. Because that's the desire of her heart, you see. Mind you, it doesn't quite fit in with what the Aussie ladies might be thinking right now, but never mind. It's having a chat with God about anything. Anything. And if you want to chat to him about football, well, fair enough, chat to him about football. I always remember when we were in Nottingham, we had a guy who came to speak called Juan Carlos Ortiz from Argentina. He being South American, he was up and down in the pulpit, and sometimes he'd disappear below the level of the pulpit to illustrate something. But I remember him saying that God loves playing with his children, and all his children are different. And some of them like playing tennis, and some of them like playing with their model railways or whatever. In other words, you know, God knows and understands, and we can approach him so easily and in a straightforward sort of way. Sometimes it is good to be rather more formal in our prayers, certainly, and to set aside times to pray. But also to recognize that God is always there. We can come along and chat to him. I mean, sometimes if I'm driving the car and I need to park, I say, do you know, Lord, it really would be nice if there suddenly was a space. And it's extraordinary how often suddenly there is a space. Now, that is totally trivial. I realize that, and there are much more important things than that. But God does, he's interested in everything about us. And there's nothing, in a sense, that is, I was going to say, off limits in terms of what we can talk to him about. I read the Psalms, for goodness sake. David and the other psalmists, they raged at God. They were angry. They expressed what they really felt. Well, let it all out. It's a good way of expressing ourselves. If we're feeling like that, let the emotions come out. And God doesn't mind. And I think that's something that's important, that this is all part of conversation. The other day I was In a time of prayer, I was really sort of thinking about the situation in Israel. I was saying, oh God, it's in such, everything's such a mess. And then eventually I just said, well, Lord, just help. It wasn't as if there was any obvious answer to give him, but just simply to express everything that you could see and feel and then say, Lord, help. So it's a very simple way of praying, really. But it's a bit like a conversation. And the reason why I chose this passage this morning, which I could guarantee has never been read before at a Wednesday gathering, it was really because it is a conversation between God and David. And it was actually giving him some fairly specific instructions about what the right strategy would be in a situation, a very practical situation, where Israel was then being attacked by their constant enemies, the Philistines. And so David, instead of just assembling his troops together and saying, right chaps, we're going off to fight these folk and we're going to give them a black eye, he says, first of all, Lord, what should I do? And so the Lord gives him the strategy as to what to do. And then, of course, after they had been thoroughly defeated, it wasn't many months later that they sprang up again. And again, there was a conversation, and you have it there. You see, this time God tells him, don't go straight forward. Verse 13. Verse 14, David inquired of God again, and God answered him, do not go directly after them, circle round them and attack them in front of the poplar trees, etc., etc. And as you, and when you hear the sound of their army, sort of reflected in the tops of the trees, then that's the when to go round the back and attack them in a surprise sort of way. So he was being given a particular strategy by God as to what actually to do at that particular moment. And God engages with us sometimes in conversation. And I remember at the point when I'd felt it was right to be, I felt God was calling to the ministry, and we got to the stage where we were going to be leaving our home in southeast London and go to a theological college. And there were two possibilities. And we really wanted to stay, our hearts said we wanted to stay in London. So I was hoping the answer was going to be Oak Hill. But it didn't work out that way. And yet we were offered, we said, oh Lord, it's obvious what you're going to do. You're going to offer us a house to live in one place and not the other. That's how you're going to guide us. But they both offered us a house. We went up to an interview at St. John's, Nottingham, and we were accepted there as we were accepted at the other. And then we were sitting down around the table in the dining room there after supper, and the wife of the bursar, who had nothing to do with the interviews at all, and we happened to be sitting opposite her, and she said, I look forward to seeing you when you come here in September. And I said, but we don't know yet whether we're coming here. And she said, I look forward to seeing you when you come here in September. And we just knew that this was the voice of God. It wasn't as if it were a conversation that had been promoted, although we've been asking God a lot about where we should be going, and the answer didn't actually come from the direction that we were anticipating, because she had absolutely nothing to do with the interviewing process whatsoever. But she was a woman of God who listened, and she spoke that word very appropriately. There was another occasion when we were at college. This is going back to the early 70s. And one morning I was about to go to the chapel for the morning prayers and the Bible reading, and a letter had arrived. I opened the letter just literally walking, and it was walking to the chapel, and it was from a vicar in Nottingham saying, would you like to come and be my curate? This was 15 months before I was due to be ordained, and you could have knocked me over with a feather at that point. It came so totally out of the blue. So I went into the chapel, and just before it started, I just laid the letter before the Lord and said, Lord, what's this all about? And the tutor who was speaking from Genesis and spoke about the way that Abraham's servant had gone off to find a wife for Isaac. And you may know the story about how he went to the well where people gathered to get water, and he said, if I ask certain questions and the and someone replies, then may that be a sign to me. And anyway, what the person speaking said was, you know, God often leads in the ordinary things of life. And if I heard a word at that point, I don't think I did hear it audibly, but it was certainly there and printed on my heart. What's more natural than receiving a letter? And we knew, Jill and I knew at that moment that we were going to go, I'd be a curate at St. Margaret's Church, Aspley, in 15 months' time. That was an unusual thing to happen. It doesn't usually work out quite like that. But that's the way that God used it. It was a sort of conversation, if you like. And I think that a lot of prayer actually does come in that sort of way. There's another passage of scripture I've got here actually also from Chronicles. This is 2 Chronicles this time, and it's chapter 1 of 2 Chronicles and verses 7 to 12. I thought I'd read this as well, because I'm not really sort of expounding the passages of scripture this morning, but this is just another illustration of a conversation with God. That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Wow. Have you ever heard God saying that to you? Anyway, Solomon replied to God, you have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? And God said to Solomon, since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, riches, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I have made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will also give you wealth, riches, and honor, such as no king who was before you has ever had, and none after you will ever have. You never know what's going to happen when we start talking with God. He might give all sorts of different promises that we never really would have anticipated. Because God is generous, he knows the hearts of each of his children, and he knows us separately. He knows that one person likes playing football, another person likes playing with their model trains. And so he comes to us in the way in which it's appropriate for you and me to hear his voice. But I believe that we are all able to hear that voice as we become more and more attuned to receive it in whatever way God might want to prompt you or to speak with you. Often it's speaking through the word of God itself. After all, here we have the ultimate truth about God. And as we read, O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself has trod, Lord, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, I don't do anything at all other than through what my Father tells me to do. So obviously Jesus, while he was here on earth, was often on the phone to his father, having a bit of a chat. Hey Dad, what should I do? And after all, he is Abba Father. That's what we call him, Daddy. He wants to hear us speak to him, and he wants to communicate. Now, as I said, I have this instrument here this morning, and I wonder whether there's anybody who would be bold enough to share anything at all with us today, some sort of experience. It might be anything that relates to God speaking to you. Maybe it's about a question of guidance. Maybe it's a question of what God has spoken, even more specifically than that. But is there anyone who'd like to share together? I haven't warned anybody. So if you don't want to, then please don't feel under any obligation whatsoever. But I thought I'd give a chance. Ah, Lisette.
So sometimes I find it, or for a while I was finding it very hard to pray about little things. When you start praying for everything that's going on in the world, war, climate change, it feels a little inappropriate to ask for small things. But I remember a while ago I was out for a run, and I like praying when I'm running. I often don't get to the end though, that's my only problem. But I was, you know, praying over all the wars going on and praying for peace. And I looked at my watch and thinking, oh, I'm actually at a really good pace. I'm doing really well here, but I know there's a busy junction coming up. I could really do with a green man. And when I got there, I had a green man. And I thought, oh, is that a coincidence, or am I being told you should pray for the little things? So I've taken it that it was. So I do. I do now make a point of starting with the big stuff and ending with the little stuff.
Thank you very much, Lisette. Anyone else want anything to share? Maya.
I was praying for someone at New Wine several years ago now, when we'd been asked to become involved in prayer. And I really had no idea how to meet this lady's needs. And I had quite clear instruction from God. I actually heard his voice. It's the only time I ever have. But I could have sworn he was there standing beside me telling me exactly what to do. And it was a lovely experience for me, and I hope for the person that he was speaking through me too.
Thank you very much. Anybody else got anything they wanted to share? I'm going to ask. Oh, here we are. Nick.
Last year, I got a text after submitting a sample to the NHS, a text saying urgent referral to hospital for a colonoscopy, suspected bowel cancer, which really shook me up. And I went to several churches, two in Bristol, one in Monmouth, and asked for prayer, and this was one of the churches. And I was speaking to Phil the other day, my friend Phil, and I said to him, Phil, when does God answer our prayers? And he said, as soon as you ask them. I said, that's not my experience. My experience is that God will answer your prayers before you ask them. In the case of colonoscopy, my birthday is August the 3rd, and my colonoscopy, which I was very concerned about and scared, being a man, was in September, the third week in September. And in August, friends said, come to a National Trust place with us and we'll take you out for the day in August. Well, that arrangement fell through. So it went back to a later date in August. And that arrangement fell through. And eventually, it came about that my birthday treat was on the Tuesday before my colonoscopy. And instead of worrying about my colonoscopy, I had the most marvellous day out with glorious sunshine in a National Trust place I'd never been to. So it was back in August that God answered those prayers. And even more startlingly, on the Wednesday, the third Wednesday of the month, we have a lunch in church here. That was decided back in January. So in January, God was answering our prayers. And I praise him for it. And even to the extent that when I got into hospital, I was very nervous. I didn't know what, I had never had a colonoscopy before. And they kissed me out in one of these fancy dresses that you have to wear back to front. And I was just sitting down waiting for the nurse. And a bloke came to sit down beside me. And we got chatting and he said he played golf. And I said, well, I used to play golf, but my passion is sailing. And he said, I grew up in Cowes. I sailed all my life. Well, that was it. For the next hour and a half, we talked about sailing. I forgot all about my colonoscopy. Now, I didn't know that bloke was going to be there. Even after the colonoscopy, in the recovery room, he was there in the next bed. We carried on our chat. So my experience is that God answers our prayers before we ask them.
Thank you very much, Nick. I think we've probably got time for one more. Right, Jill.
This is a slightly different answer to prayer, I think. A few years ago, I was quite ill and I had surgery. And I was really struggling with the outcome of the surgery. And there was one afternoon, I remember, I was feeling so angry about the whole thing and angry with God and angry that he didn't help me. And I remember saying to him, but you're not helping me. And I felt he was saying, but the body of Christ is all around you. They're helping you all the time. And I think that was another experience, really, of answered prayer and helped me to see another side of his care for me.
Well, thank you very much. You see, there are so many things that we could share. We could go on much longer than this. And I think probably we ought to draw to a close. But nevertheless, there'll be an opportunity to share afterwards. If you haven't had an opportunity to speak and you wanted to, why not tell somebody about what it was that you were hoping you might have shared, and maybe there'll be an opportunity on another Wednesday to do so. Because I participation, conversation amongst us is what it's all about, really. And I think it really helps to encourage our fellowship and our friendship together, which is really so important. As we draw to a close this morning, we're going to be singing a hymn which Katie chose and was very appropriate for what we've been talking about. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.